Janet Stilson. I am both a journalist as well as an author of sci-fi books. One is called The Juice, and the second book is called The Universe of Lost Messages.
This is a continuing episode of a series about Janet Stilson and her book series, The Charismites. The series started at episode 353. Go to the show archive to catch up. We talk about charismites and they're really attractive people. I bet there's no romance at all in this book.
Oh, yeah, there's romance.
A little shocking. Tell me more.
Well, you know, even though Jarrett is essentially trying to unearth the corruption within New Hope, and as part of that, he realizes that his friend's substance, the juice, is being used on Luscious. So he also views her as part of the corruption. But he is extraordinarily attracted to her. And when she eventually meets him, Luscious also becomes attracted to Jarrett. But they're sort of on opposite sides of, you know, they're on opposite sides. And Jarrett really has to force himself not to react to her in any kind of romantic way. Hmm. And so I won't tell you what happens to their relationship as the book progresses, but there's definitely romantic tension that develops as the story goes on.
Oh, cool. How many Charismites are there in this world?
At this point in time, there's just the two, Dove
wow.
and Luscious. Yeah. They are rarefied sort of subspecies.
Smokes. Okay. Now, I'm seeing that you have a second book as well. But hey, before I go there, let me talk about the cover. So I was looking at the cover of The Juice, and you got on there cover of an attractive woman, and pretty, I would say it's like a cyberpunkish style. She's wearing leather. There's shiny electronic-y type things in the backdrop. So yeah, this looks like it's, and the font is of course very much from the future. So that's pretty cool. Tell me about this cover. Like, who's the artist for this?
Within the publishing company who did it. And we went through, she read the book. She sort of gave me her visual interpretation of the character Luscious. And we went back and forth until we came to a version that sort of meshed with my idea of what Luscious might look like.
How old is Luscious?
Well, at the start, she's 16 years old.
Okay. That's a interesting age for a life-altering drug to take hold.
I know.
And then become
the
center of the universe.
She's pretty, you know, she's naive. And she's, you know, it's actually, I think somebody older might have been a little bit more suspicious. But she was game. She was ready to go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like when you're kind of like at one edge of the world and you think there's no lower you can go, maybe it opens the door to taking up any opportunity that comes by.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then the next book is Universe of Lost Messages.
Yes.
Book two of The Charismites and Hunt for the Most Dangerous Mind Twisters. That's intriguing. Well, tell me about that.
First of all, it's a standalone book, meaning you don't have to read The Juice in order to read Universe of Lost Messages. You can read the second one and you'll be perfectly fine. And it's a new generation of charismites, so it's set a little bit further into the future. And the action is propelled by the abduction of the charismites. There's Luscious is still in the story, So she's part of that, but there's also two charismatic characters that are a younger generation, and they're abducted by this nefarious underground organization that wants to use them as part of their attempt to sway the public to give them extraordinary powers over not just United America, but the entire world. That becomes the through line. And I think it's even more of a, it focuses in on the thriller genre a little bit more specifically than the Jews. There's still romance there. There's still, you know, it's a roller coaster ride in terms of the speed that the action develops. There's even more tension than in the first book.
Wow, okay. And I'm looking at this list of characters here. So the main ones are the same, as you said, and then there's these secondary ones. And it looks like you have like Shake, Cheetah, Tristan, and Izzy. Tell us about them.
First of all, the main characters in The Juice are in the second book, but they're secondary characters. And these characters, yeah, and these characters that you just mentioned are the main characters.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So Shake, the first character, that's short for Shakespeare, that's his name.
Oh, cool.
He has kind of a very, very small role in The Juice, but in the second book, he is a main character, as I said, and he works at New Hope, and he's kind of a young man programming genius, producer genius within the company. But he comes from very humble roots because he was adopted and into the elite society, but he grew up in a very hard knock section of Massachusetts. He grew up in Dorchester, which is part of, you know, the greater Boston area. And then the second character is called Cheetah. And Cheetah is also not a charismite. Neither of these two characters are charismites. Cheetah and her mother, when she was young, migrated up from what we think of today as Honduras. And she migrated up to the New York area, and she became homeless. She and her mother became homeless.
Oh.
And she was saved from all of this by a very benevolent United America senator, and was managed to, with a bit of struggle, sort of become a much more socially upward human being. She's a young woman at the time the story takes place. The third character is a charismatic. His name is Tristan. And his parents don't want him to be used the way that Luscious and Dove were used in the first novel. And so he is sequestered away in a biodome in upstate New York. And the biodome covers about 70 acres of property, and it's beautiful land. And he's quite happy to live within this biodome. He has absolutely no problem doing that. And then the fourth character, Izzy, which is short for Isabel, is like the exact opposite of Tristan in that she is way out there in the public view. She is a superstar performer who could put Taylor Swift to shame. I mean, in terms of how her popularity, she's just got this massive popularity. And so Tristan and Izzy, in the very first, and I'm not giving much away here, in the very first chapters of the novel are abducted to be used by this underground organization that I mentioned.
Oh, wow.
Sci-Fi Thoughts wants to expand. We want to grow from not just your podcast player, but to spread to your coworkers, your family, and your friends.
But I haven't got any friends.
Why, you little... One, two, three... Oh, no, you don't. We know you've got friends who are into the science, who are into science fiction. These are the people who are playing Halo and Stellaris and other space games instead of watching college football. There are the ones in the NASA t-shirts who are busy inventing something with their 3D printers. Email them a link to this podcast. Send them a social media request. Heck, even speak to them and tell them that you've enjoyed the show. The main point is to impress upon them how much you enjoy Sci-Fi Thoughts. Tell them to go to the URL scifithoughts.space. Don't keep Sci-Fi Thoughts secret, because keeping secrets from science fiction fans just isn't nice.
We've got more value for you folks. They're right there in the show notes. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for easy access. And if you downloaded this podcast from a website, go back to the website where you downloaded it and you will see the show notes there. This is a continuing episode of the series that started at episode 353. If you missed that first episode, like my friend Forrest, you can find it by going to scifithoughts.space and using the search box to search up any episodes that you missed. Next episode, more Janet Stilson.
The Universe of Lost Messages refers to a new element that is developed in the second novel, which was sort of sprung for something that happened to me personally. It may have happened to you in the past too, Lancer. I mean, have you ever had somebody sends you an email message and it gets stuck in your junk mail and you don't find it for weeks at a time? Have you ever find it? Yeah. And that happened to me once, and it was just absolutely unsettled me, because it was the editor of Asimov's magazine who wanted to publish a short story.
Yeah.
And I never saw this message. And trying to find some humor in all this, I came up with the idea of, wouldn't it be interesting if there was, like, out in the ether somewhere, all of these lost messages that are just sort of out there and nobody can find them. And a lot of them are nothing but junk mail, but some of them are really, really important.